My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us this evening from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into his nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked. He stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. My brothers and sisters, the Gospel of the Lord. In John's Gospel, He gives us two accounts in which Jesus becomes present in the midst of a group of his disciples. These are appearances that you will not find in Mark. You will not find them in Matthew. They're not even mentioned. And in Luke, they're presented in one single incident. In reading the resurrection accounts, we need always to remember that the evangelist's purpose was not to write a newspaper's report, but to lead the reader to reflect upon their own faith in the risen Lord. That's why they were written. They were written from faith for faith. They're made up of partly history, but also of faith and myth. And again, they are written to foster the faith of those who read them. Jesus' appearances become more physical as the years go by, from Paul's accounts to in the 40s and 50s to John's accounts in the 90s. But anyways, I think it's important that you know that you hear the phrase, "seeing the Lord," or "we saw the Lord." That's a code phrase. It's a code phrase, meaning that knowing the revelation of Christ to such a depth in oneself that one's life is changed and transformed when one knows the revelation to in depth. Your life should change. So let's take a look at how this plays out in Thomas today, who represents all of us. What can we learn from this particular revelation? Well, we're told that Jesus showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained." When I was thinking and meditating on this gospel, I've preached this gospel for many years. 30 plus years now I've preached this gospel. And it still has something new every time I read it to teach me. Only with today's reading have I made the connection. Jesus is identifying forgiveness with breath, with the very air that we breathe. The Holy Spirit is seemingly given with a breath. The Spirit is coexistent with life itself. And why is Jesus' profound teaching on the union of Spirit and life? Immediately, what follows is this story of Thomas, the one whom we call Thomas the Doubter. And perhaps the reason Thomas could physically touch Jesus' wounds, to trust that Jesus was healed and transformed, that Jesus could be the same person, and yet he could be an utterly different person, is that he had been able to touch his own wounds. And that's why Jesus talks about forgiveness as available and free and as given as the breath in front of his mouth. If Thomas and all of us could touch our own wounds and know that God can transform them, then it would be easy to believe that God could do the same in the body of Jesus. But if you've never experienced your own need for mercy and forgiveness, if you've never had been forgiven or need for forgiveness of a friend or to apologize for something that you've done wrong, you likely don't know that wounds can be turned into grace and that crucifixions can be turned into resurrection. You know, unfortunately, the church has sometimes contributed to the limiting of forgiveness. We Catholic priests gave the impression that to have your sins forgiven, you had to go into a box and confess. That form of confession didn't come about until the Irish monks. It was about the 6th century. Early Christians didn't go into a box and confess. That reconciliation has evolved and changed over centuries, and it will continue to change. But anyhow, back to our story, looking closely at this gospel, we see that Jesus doesn't say this only to the 12. It's only the 12 that have this power. He tells the entire community of his disciples, which was made up of men, women, and children, that they all have the power to forgive and to heal and transform one another by letting each other off the hook once in a while and by overlooking other people's offenses. However, they also had the terrible power to retain and to bind. But when you retain and bind, you're only binding yourself when you don't forgive. Jesus makes the connection between what we do to one another and what God is able to do. So, if you've never experienced a generous and gentle forgiveness from a family member, from a friend, from your lover, from someone who is willing to overlook your own offenses, if you don't have that experience, I think it's almost impossible for you to know how God could forgive you. I mean, how could you even imagine the forgiveness of God if you haven't experienced it from somebody close to you? And so Jesus is saying to the entire community of Christians, to all of us, not just to a select group called priests, that we have the power to liberate one another. We have the power to bind one another up. The power is given to the entire community. And if we have not entered into that graceful releasing, healing, surrendering, and discovering what forgiveness always is, then I don't think we can experience it from God. So today, my brothers and sisters, we're given an example of Thomas. Thomas touched his own wounds, his limitations, his coldness, his unforgiveness. And only then, when he was ready, oh so ready, to experience the wounds of Jesus and to know that they were both filled with spirit. They were both filled with the breath of life. He knew the revelation of Christ at such a depth that his life was changed. How about you and me? Have you seen the Lord? I can tell if you have. I'll let you know later. Now to finish my homily. You know, I said that seeing the Lord is not a physical seeing. They talk about it in the scriptures, that they talk about it that way. And they present it that way in a physical way later on. But as I said, it's a code word. And it really means knowing the revelation of Christ at such a depth in oneself that one is transformed and changed. And so you can tell if a person's been transformed and changed, can't you? You know, I can tell if a person has seen the Lord, even though they haven't seen him physically. And you don't even have to be Christian to see the Lord. You know, when you're in the presence of somebody who is very loving and caring, who is very joyful, who is generous with their time and with their talent and with their treasure, they're people who are gentle, peaceful people, and you can tell that they're filled with joy, even in sad times, in tragic times, at death itself. They have a big mind and a big heart, and they're always a pleasure to be with. They're not judgmental. They're people who don't criticize others, who gossip and destroy another person's name. They're not people who think badly of others and are very negative. They're people of hope, they're people of faith, and people of joy. They've seen the Lord. Through their heart. It's a heart knowing. It's a heart seeing. You've seen the Lord. And it changes your heart. And it even gets to change your mind. And that's what repentance means. Change your mind. Start thinking differently. Start thinking like Christ. So it's all about transformation. The disciples were transformed. They changed. Have you seen the Lord? Well, maybe others can be the judge of that, huh? What I said, does that describe you?